Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3. Crunch Time presented by OrthoSensi, Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Go online to schedule your next appointment or learn more at OrthoSensi.com. That's OrthoSensi.com. I am your host, Double T Travis there. Hope everybody had a Merry Christmas, and we're looking forward to a Happy New Year. Yes, this is the final Crunch Time of the year 2021, and we will be running down some of the best and top sports stories from around the area this past year. Before we get to that, though, I want to talk a little high school basketball, because there are going to be plenty of holiday tournaments going on in both boys and girls basketball this week. So we'll preview these tournaments a little bit before we get into the top sports stories of 2021 to round out this last crunch time of the year. So let's start in boys basketball. Just going to go from the top to the bottom here. No particular order. The Monrovia tournament coming up this week. Actually going to be played tomorrow, and starting tomorrow. And there's going to be 8 teams competing in this tournament, including the Milan Indians, who have a tough draw in the first round. Milan struggling out of the gate, 0-5. They have played a very, very tough schedule this year, including playing Monrovia in their last game. They've also played East Central, Lawrenceburg, Batesville, South Decatur. So it's been a tough go, and now they play a Tipton team that is coming into this tournament 6-2, and they average near 70 points per game. That has been a detriment for Milan this year. Defensively, they're giving up 62 points per game. This Tipton team has two fantastic players in Nate Powell, averaging 19 points, and Nolan Swan at 16 points per game. So Milan has their work cut out for them in the first round. Also at the Monrovia tournament, you'll have Tri-West and the host school playing the first game, Mitchell versus Southwestern Shelbyville, Danville versus Greenwood Christian, and then Milan will tip off with Tipton tomorrow at 1:30 p.m. We'll see where they go from there, but a good chance for this Milan team to continue to grow and hopefully pick up their first win or more of the season at the Monrovia tournament. The Richmond tournament, this one is going to be a fun one because there are a ton of teams participating in this particular tournament, so much that they have a Pool A, a Pool B, a Pool C, and a Pool D. And the Lawrenceburg Tigers going to be featured in Pool D. And speaking of tough draws, I think the Tigers got one here at the Richmond tournament. They're going to play Central Christian tomorrow at 11 a.m. And this Central Christian team, albeit a 1A school, is 8-2 on the season, and they have two lengthy guards in Elijah Mattingly, 6'6". He's averaging 23 points per game and 10 rebounds. His backcourt mate, Christian Woods, 6'5", averaging 20 points and 7 rebounds. So the Tigers will have their work cut out for them guarding those two gentlemen tomorrow morning. Of course, Lawrenceburg coming into this tournament 6-1, coming off a loss at Taylor last week. This Tigers team has played really, really well and has a lot of talent. They're going to be tested here, though, in Pool D, as they will also play Fort Wayne Northrop tomorrow at 3 p.m., so no rest so much in between games. And they are going to have to contain Jalen Jackson, who is going to go on to play at the University of Illinois Chicago. He's averaging 37.5 points per game, so that is the challenge that awaits Lawrenceburg at the Richmond tournament. Some of the other teams going to be featured here, of course, the host school, Greensburg, will be there taking on Seton Catholic. You got Indianapolis Homeschool versus Bloomington South. Victory College Prep is also there. Miami Valley out of Ohio. Northwood, Purdue Poly Inglewood to round out the field. And it's going to be a good tournament at Richmond, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the Tigers play. And hopefully they'll get through Pool D and into the winner side of the bracket, and can go do something special out there at Richmond this week. The East Central Trojans will host the East Central Tournament. If my memory serves me correct, I think this was supposed to be played at Boone County, but it's going to be shifted to St. Leon. East Central will take on Boone County, first game on Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. You got Covington, Holmes, and Rushville playing in game two. Just a four-team tournament. East Central 4-2 coming into this tournament. Caleb Mergenthal leading them in scoring. Ryan Selhurst has played well. The freshman Carson Pazonka looks really good to start his career. And Jaden Dennis running the show at the point. Those have been the four guys that have stood out the most so far for Coach Disbrow's team. The Morristown tournament, this will feature seven teams. South Dearborn and South Ripley included in this tournament. South Dearborn will play the first game on Wednesday, coming in 4-2 against New Washington. They got a fantastic guard in Matthew Arthur, averaging 17 points per game, a team that can certainly score the basketball. Randolph Southern, Covenant Christian in game two. South Ripley draws 8-0 Clinton Prairie in the first round. They're number 13 in 2A, and then Morristown getting the bye in this tournament. So that's going to be a fun one. South Dearborn, South Ripley, of course, the local teams there, so we'll be keeping our eye on the Morristown tournament. And I think if South Dearborn can get through that first game, they got a shot to maybe get themselves to the championship game. Clinton Prairie looks like they're going to be maybe a strong side to beat, being 8-0 and undefeated, ranked in 2A. Other tournaments happening this week: the North Decatur tournament. Rising Sun will take on the host Chargers on Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. You got Chittard and Centerville in game two. Winners play each other for the title. The losers will play in third place. Batesville will host a tournament. The very good 1A team in Waldron coming to town to take on the Bulldogs 10 a.m. on Thursday. Jennings County and North Harrison on the other side of the bracket. You are listening to Crunch Time. It is presented by OrthoSensi, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Dr. Ron Auer, Brian Whistle, and Roman Trimba, conveniently located here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need. OrthoSensi.com. Plenty of girls' holiday tournaments coming up this week. We'll start with the Scottsburg tournament, and this is going to feature teams like East Central and Lawrenceburg. Charlestown, very good as well, and Scottsburg off to a nice start this season. Chittard will be there, as well as Bloomington South. But East Central, number 13 in 4A. They're 8-3. They just played Bedford North Lawrence and Crown Point at the Bedford North Lawrence tournament. They lost to both of those teams, I would say narrowly. And Crown Point was the number one team in the state. Bedford North Lawrence is probably going to be the number one team in the state when the new polls come out. So, two hard-fought games against two really, really good teams for Coach Moore's East Central Lady Trojans. They draw Scottsburg in the first round of the Scottsburg tournament. Actually, they have pool play, so they will play Scottsburg and then Bloomington South. And Scottsburg, 8-5, they have a defeated Lawrenceburg narrowly earlier this season. They did lose to a good Charlestown team on December 7th, to give you kind of an idea of what type of game you can expect against Scottsburg. That Charlestown team, number 15 in 3A, they're 9-3, did defeat Lawrenceburg first game of the season 60-55, and those two teams will meet in Pool B. That's going to be played tomorrow at 1:30. East Central will tip off at 11:45, by the way, and then Lawrenceburg has Chittard with their second matchup in Pool B. And Tigers have won 7 of their last 9. They are coming off a 5-point loss to Rushville in their last game. But East Central, Charlestown, Lawrenceburg, Scottsburg, those look to be the best teams in this particular Scottsburg tournament. And that's going to be a fun one starting up tomorrow. Triton Central will play host to a tournament also starting tomorrow. Franklin County draws the host school at 9 a.m. Northeastern and Southport at 10:30. Danville and Elkhart at noon. And then Heritage Christian taking on Jacksonville at 1:30. Number 5 and 1A are the Lady Eagles. They're 10-2. They've lost 2 of their last 4 after starting 8-0, but their only losses are to Waldron and East Central. Waldron, I believe, is the number one. Yes, they are the number one team in 1A. East Central highly ranked in 4A. So this Jacksonville team, very, very good. Triton Central could be the favorite here, though. Number 4 in 2A. They are 12-1. Their only loss is to Waldron. They did defeat Greensburg 13 points earlier this season, to give you an idea what type of team they have, at least in comparison to our local teams. And then Franklin County, 8-6. They've won 4 straight. We'll see if they can give Triton Central a run for their money in the first game of that particular tournament. Waldron's going to host a tournament. They'll take on Batesville, and Tri-West and Blackford are in the other game there. Waldron, again, number 1 in 1A, should be the favorite in that particular tournament. Milan will compete at the Cambridge City Classic, taking on Cambridge City Lincoln. On the other side of the bracket, Randolph Southern and Morristown. Milan starting to play a little bit better here as of late, continuing to get better this season. That tournament will start on Thursday, and the Speedway tournament also being played on Thursday. Indianapolis Riverside will take on Speedway, Rising Sun, and Terre Haute South in Game 2. So all these holiday tournaments, they look to be a lot of fun. We have many area teams competing both on the boys and girls side, and this is an opportunity for these teams to certainly get better, cut down the nets, bring home a trophy. You kind of get that tournament-type feel, like sectional-type feel, I should say, with these tournaments. And it's all a great learning experience as all these teams march forward and try to complete their ultimate goal, which will be win a sectional and make a deep run into the state tournament. So good luck to all of our area boys and girls basketball teams as they seek holiday tournament championships this week. All right, so we are just a few days away from ringing in the new year. 2022 is upon us. I thought it would be a great idea on this particular show to run down the top sports stories of 2021, of course, all having relevance to the Eagle Country area, and it's pretty simple how these were chosen. The good thing is you can go on the analytics machine and see how many times a story got clicked on, which really kind of allows us to know how long it stayed as a big headline, how much traction it was getting on social media pages, so forth and so on. And we want to start with Mason Paris, and this is a story that actually just broke earlier this month. So if it seems like we've talked about Mason and his WWE Next in Line program deal that he has, well, it's because we have talked a lot about it, because the news broke back on December 8th, but it is a big, big deal. So is Mason Paris, number 2 ranked heavyweight wrestler in the NCAA. Double A. He's had a fantastic career thus far at the University of Michigan, and he's got the body type that they look for in the WWE, standing about, I don't know, 6'2", 285 pounds, somewhere in that range. Big kid, awesome wrestler, and a bright future perhaps with the WWE, as he is one of 15 college athletes in this Next in Line program. It's newly formed with the name, image, and likeness that you hear about at the collegiate level. But Mason Paris, who knows, once he's done wrestling for the University of Michigan, he goes down to Orlando, Florida, gets into the WWE Performance Center, and if he does well enough there, might end up having a WWE contract one day. And I mentioned 14 others are in this Next in Line program, including the guy that took down Mason Paris in the national championship earlier this year, Gable Steveson, the standout from Minnesota. So again, these two have a history already on the mat in the NCAA. They might end up having a history in the squared circle, as it is called, in the WWE, if they both indeed land WWE contracts and become big stars. I'm fascinated by this. I've always been a big pro wrestling fan, so it's going to be fun to track the progress of Mason Paris as he works his way through this WWE Next in Line program. Now, as for Mason Paris on the mat, this season at the University of Michigan, he's off to a 5-0 start. And he's got some pretty intriguing upcoming matches to start the new year. On January 3rd, he's going to take on Colton Schultz, the number 7 ranked heavyweight out of Arizona State. He's got number 16 Tate Orndorff from Ohio State on the 14th. He's going to take on Penn State's top heavyweight in Greg Kirkcovlett on the 21st. And then January 28th, that big match looming against number 1 Gable Steveson. That's going to be fun. That's must-see TV on the 28th. Another one of our big sports stories of 2021 also involves an area wrestler, and that would be Briar Hall, who back in February won the state championship at 170 pounds as a senior at East Central High School. And not only did he win the state championship, he did so in historic and dominating fashion, pinning each of his 4 opponents. He is one of 9 wrestlers in state history to do so. So obviously had this very dominant performance. It was a very sweet victory for Briar Hall at the time, who had lost the state championship a year prior at 152 pounds. So he puts on the 18 pounds of muscle, I presume, and goes on to have an undefeated season and finished his career as the top-ranked wrestler in the 170-pound division. And he was the first wrestler from southeastern Indiana to win the state championship since the aforementioned Mason Paris did so, completing a three-peat during the 2017-18 season. And we've come to know this area now as a really good wrestling area in the state of Indiana, pretty much a factory or a pipeline, as you would say, for these kids to go on and do some big things at the collegiate level. And Briar Hall is just the latest that's going off to the Big Ten to try to have a great college career similar to what Mason Paris has done. As in April of 2021, he committed to the Ohio State University. And why not after that dominating season that he did have as a senior? Currently, Briar Hall, 174 pounds as a freshman at Ohio State, is wrestling behind a redshirt senior at that same weight class. So it looks like Briar Hall, once he gets into his sophomore season or maybe even a redshirt freshman season next year, he will be the go-to guy, presumably, at that 174-pound weight class at Ohio State. So certainly excited to see what he is going to do at the collegiate level. Speaking of collegiate level, Ashton Craig is next on our top five sports stories of 2021, and it's been well documented. Ashton Craig going to go on to play college football at the University of Notre Dame. It was earlier on this month that he put pen to paper signing his letter of intent during the first day of the early signing period for the class of 2020 recruits. But a highly recruited as an offensive lineman, going to go play for Marcus Freeman, the new head ball coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. But Ashton, a four-star recruit, of course, from Lawrenceburg High School, was listed as the 26th best offensive tackle in the country, courtesy of 24/7 Sports. And if you are going to look at recruiting rankings, Rivals has always been a big name out there, was for many years, still is. I used to check Rivals all the time when I was in high school, college. Always been fascinated with recruiting because I love college sports. But more so nowadays, I tend to lean towards 24/7 Sports. I think I like the setup of their website, and they do a fantastic job with their rankings and their predictions, things of that nature, all the stuff that's fun that goes into recruiting. But 24/7 Sports, that's my go-to for recruiting news, and that's where they had Ashton ranked this year. And he was an IFCA Top 50 All-State team member named Mr. Football Offensive Line in the state of Indiana, and he is expected to move inside up in South Bend. Initial reports were saying that they're going to change him in, or change his position to center. I guess he could play guard as well. He certainly has the size and athleticism to play all five spots across the offensive line. He's certainly going to gain some muscle and weight at the University of Notre Dame. So I had a chance to catch up with his high school head football coach, Ryan Kanega, during halftime of the Lawrenceburg-Taylor game last week. He joined us on the air from that broadcast, and he'd mentioned that Ashton is going to grow, obviously, at the University of Notre Dame. And I said, I can't wait to see the before and after photos. A lot of colleges are very good about, one, taking those photos and then sharing them on social media. So if you think Ashton is a huge human being already as a senior in high school, wait until you see him about his sophomore junior season at the University of Notre Dame. He is going to be a massive man with some pro aspirations, and I've said it from the get-go when Ashton took the visit to Notre Dame and then verbally committed. It's one of the best places you can go as an offensive line recruit because they, year in and year out, are churning out pro players that not only go to the NFL, but they star there in their role as offensive linemen and go on to have lengthy, great careers. And right now, the best offensive lineman in the game, Quentin Nelson, Indianapolis Colts, he came from Notre Dame. There are many others like him. I'm not saying that right now that Ashton is going to go on to be the best lineman in the NFL, but I'm certain in the back of his mind he is hoping to one day get there and play at the highest level, and that would certainly be something really, really neat to see, as not a lot of youngsters from this area have made it that far to go to the NFL. So we're rooting for Ashton Craig. Certainly going to be fun to see what he is able to accomplish at the University of Notre Dame. And I have a one particular Notre Dame game that I'm very intrigued by next season. Oh, yeah, just so happens to be the very first game of the next football season, 2022, when the Fighting Irish travel to Columbus to take on the Ohio State Buckeyes. That will be one of the biggest non-conference football games you will see in the year of 2022. Moving right along with our top sports stories of the year, we are running down our top five sports stories. We've already gotten through the first three, and let's talk about another footballer from the area that is getting a shot in the NFL, and that would be Drew Chrisman, who is a Lawrenceburg native, grew up going to school at St. Lawrence, right down the road from the Eagle's Nest here. He would go on to play high school football at LaSalle, where he won two state championships and then was one of the top punters in college football, playing for Urban Meyer and the Ohio State Buckeyes. Left Columbus as one of the best punters in program history, 44 yards per punt. That is fourth best in Ohio State history. A three-time All Big Ten Conference honoree, two-time semifinalist for the Ray Guy Award, and a four-time academic All Big Ten Conference honoree. And out of college, he was hoping to hear his name called during the NFL draft. That did not happen, but the hometown Cincinnati Bengals did come a-calling and signed Drew Chrisman to a contract as an undrafted free agent. He's bounced around a little bit on the practice squad, off the practice squad throughout the season. He currently is on the Bengals practice squad, but I had a chance to talk to him right after he signed with the Bengals as an undrafted free agent back in May. And he called it a dream come true. He grew up being a Bengals fan, even recalled some fond memories of he and his dad going to the jungle growing up. So this was a really cool story, seeing a kid from this area put in all the hard work to become one of the best punters in high school, goes on to play for one of the best colleges you can, and then gets signed by his hometown Bengals. You can't really draw it up better than that. And unfortunately, the only thing for Drew signing with the Bengals is their roster includes a 13-year punting veteran in Kevin Huber, who is the best punter in the history of the Bengals team, for my money. And he is still performing at a really high level. So without Huber being injured, God forbid, we don't want that to happen to him. Don't want him to be sick or anything like that. But outside of something like that happening, Drew's going to remain on the practice squad right now. Hopefully they will be able to retain him long enough that he can maybe one day replace Kevin Huber and be the Bengals punter for 13, 15, 20 years, whatever Huber might end up doing. But the good thing, I guess, the silver lining for Drew is he gets to learn from a guy that has been around the block for many of years and one of the best in the game. So he's soaking up a lot of information, still working at his craft, and I'm sure we're going to see Drew Chrisman punting on Sundays sometime in the near future, whether it's for the Bengals or for someone else. But that is not all for Drew this year. Obviously, it's been a big year with him signing with the hometown Bengals and sticking around on the practice squad. But apparently, his family going to be growing several months from now, as he and his wife announcing that they will be bringing a child into the world. So congratulations to Drew. Awesome news there. And again, we hope to see you punting on Sundays at some point. And it's going to be awesome to see you being a dad as well. That's great news. So congratulations once again. And to round out our top five sports stories of the year, Nick Gepper reclaiming gold at the X Games. You have to go back to February for this, as the 26-year-old took gold in the men's ski slope style. And it was a long time coming for Nick Gepper to get back on the podium with that gold medal. He had won three straight golds from 2013 to 2015 and earned silver in the event on two occasions. But it had been a while since he tasted gold at the X Games and was able to do that back in February. And the only other skier to win the ski slope style three times is Tanner Hall, who a lot of skiers will know that name for sure. And, well, Nick Gepper has maybe some more gold in his future, perhaps, as he is a part of Team USA and the free ski team, particularly slope style, which is his craft, as you would put it. But the 2022 Olympic Winter Games just 38 days away, and maybe we will see Nick Gepper reclaiming gold at the Olympics. Perhaps he is going to be a part of this ski slope style team with Alex Hall, Colby Stevenson, among others. So Again, Nick Gepper has been doing some big things for many a years, and maybe some more big things coming up in Beijing in 2022. Now, we do have some honorable mention stories that we want to get to talk about to round out the show this evening. And again, these were stories that got a lot of views and a lot of traction on social media. And one story in particular that people were loving was Ryan Kniga being named the new athletic director at Lawrenceburg High School. Of course, a Tiger through and through, as he grew up going to Lawrenceburg schools, would star there at the high school level in baseball, basketball, and football, particularly football, going on to play at Indiana State University. He just finished his 11th season as the varsity football head coach. He's filled other roles as a coach and a teacher over the past several years. He was actually my JV coach when I was a freshman and sophomore in high school, and a varsity assistant playing varsity basketball sophomore, junior, and senior year. So I loved my time with Coach K as one of his players back in high school, and it's a lot of fun nowadays because I get to go and cover the Tiger football games and interview Coach K and have all these interactions with him. Every now and again, we get to have a basketball broadcast together, which is always a lot of fun. But this guy is incredibly busy. Not only is he teaching and coaching football, but now he's got the responsibilities of an athletic director overseeing the whole athletic program at Lawrenceburg. He's got a daughter and a son that are freshmen at Lawrenceburg, so I know he's wanting to be a dad and watch them play their games. He's coaching Noah on the football field, so he wears many a hats. I know he's staying super busy, but he is the right guy for this athletic director position at Lawrenceburg because he loves the school through and through, loves athletics, and loves seeing these kids grow into great young men and women. So Coach K, he's going to do an awesome job as the AD, and that was a big-time story that a lot of people were loving not too long ago. Speaking of not too long ago, it was a homecoming night to remember during the football season as South Dearborn knocked off Connersville 55-8. At the time, they improved to 3-1 on the season, but it was senior running back C.J. Rogers who set a single-game rushing record at South Dearborn in that particular game. 13 carries for 326 yards, so he averaged 25 yards per carry, scored 5 touchdowns, including a 71-yard scamper in the second quarter. A night to remember for C.J. Rogers and a season to remember as he would go on to be the EIAC offensive MVP on the Class 4A side. But after he set that record, put the story out at EagleCountryOnline.com, and all the Knights fans and football fans in the area were eating it up as C.J. Rogers, perhaps with the performance of the season in high school football here in the area. Speaking of which, Sam Ringer, he certainly generated a lot of buzz on the interwebs and social media for what he did in the first round of sectional taking on Greenwood. Everybody by now has probably seen the kickoff return that he had against Greenwood, where he got the ball out to the 50-yard line, and you're thinking, all right, that is a great return, great field position for Cole Burton and the boys to go down and score a touchdown anyways. But right around midfield, where he's getting stacked up by three or four Greenwood defenders, Sam just keeps his legs moving and breaks a bunch of tackles and then is able to outrun everybody to the end zone. A magnificent kickoff return touchdown and a must-see play if you didn't see it. You can find it at EagleCountryOnline.com. But Sam Ringer, a great football player, great young man as well. Got a chance to talk to him a little bit on this particular program before the season started, and just a really bright young man with a bright future, and hopefully the ACL rehab is going well for Sam. Unfortunately, was injured in the postseason, but I know he's going to bounce back, and we've got some college football, I'm sure, in his future. So best wishes to Sam Ringer as he continues to rehab that ACL tear. And finally, one more thing we wanted to get to, an honorable mention top sports story of the year, was the Barstool Sportsbook opening at Hollywood Casino. A lot of folks were very excited about this. One, that sports gambling is a thing in Indiana, and it is generating quite the revenue stream for the state as well. But that's besides the point. A cool place to go here locally. You can go in there, grab a bite to eat, sit down, watch some games, play some wagers, and the Barstool Sports, that thing is kind of of exploded on its own. It's very popular. People follow along with it on social media. So that was a story that people were particularly into in 2021, among the others that we talked about. So it's been a great year of 2021 in the sports world. I was glad to see that we got mostly back to normal in the sports world after 2020 was just what it was. That was not a great year for sports because people couldn't go watch the sports that they wanted to live in person. It was weird seeing these empty gyms, football fields, stadiums, arenas throughout the country and the world in 2020. But things have gotten figured out a little bit here in 2021, and we're back to going out and watching the sports that we love. The kids are getting to play the sports in front of crowds and feel that energy and excitement again. The bands being back, providing that pep, the cheerleaders, everything that goes into making a sporting event great, particularly at the high school level. We have that stuff back right now, and hopefully it can continue to stay that way in 2022. And we are certainly looking forward to the start of the new year, because that means four nights of broadcast from the Rivertown Classic. We wouldn't miss it. We've been there for every single one of them now, and I believe it's 22nd year. Things will get kicked off on January 5th, I should say tipped off. It is a basketball tournament, if you didn't know. But South Dearborn, Switzerland County, Rising Sun, and Lawrenceburg, those will be the two first-round matchups in both the girls and boys tournaments. We will bring you all eight games from the Rivertown Classic, January 5th through the 8th. It's going to be a lot of fun. Mike Perleberg, Chuck Thomas will be on the call the first two nights for the first round of the girls and boys tournaments. And myself and Bill Smith will bring you the consolation and championship games of the girls and boys tournaments on Friday and Saturday. Again, January 7th and 8th to round the tournament out at the Rivertown Classic, of course, hosted at South Dearborn High School. That is our next high school basketball broadcast coming up January 5th through the 8th. You can see the rest of our high school basketball broadcast schedule at EagleCountryOnline.com. So with that, that is going to put a wrap on Crunch Time for the year of 2021. Special thanks to OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine for their continued sponsorship of this show. Couldn't do it without you. Also want to thank all the great listeners out there in Eagle Country for tuning in each and every Monday from 6 to 6:30 for the 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation. And of course, everyone that downloads the podcast over at EagleCountryOnline.com. I just want to tell everybody, I really enjoy doing the show, putting a spotlight on our student athletes here in the area, and not only when they're in high school, but when they go into college, and sometimes even the pros. We will continue to talk about these young individuals as long as they have a tie to Eagle Country. So I really enjoy this. Hopefully you enjoy tuning in each and every Monday as well. Hoping to have a Rivertown Classic preview show coming up next Monday before the tournament starts on Wednesday. We're going to try to get in touch with as many of the coaches of the teams participating in the Rivertown as possible to learn a little bit more about their teams and how they are playing going into the Rivertown Classic. So try to get that together for you over this next week or so and bring you a great show next Monday. We will have some more special guests coming up to start 2022. So we're going to get off to a fresh start, a good start, and hear from some more of our student athletes in the start of the new year. But again, appreciate all the listenership out there in Eagle Country. Hope everybody had a Merry Christmas and have a safe and happy new year this weekend as well from your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3.